Thank you for being here by WebEx today. I am the only judge in the courtroom this morning. I am Mike Purtle from Omaha, and I will preside, and I am pleased to be joined today by my fellow judges, Rico Bishop of Lincoln and Larry Welch of Plattsmouth. We just have one case on our call this morning. It is State v. Flores. Is counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well. Appellant may begin.
Your Honor, I would ask for 2 minutes reserved for rebuttal. May it please the court, my name is Thomas Helgett. I represent the appellant, the state of Nebraska, in this case. I'm a Deputy Hall County Attorney. Your Honor, the case is before you is our clear case of abuse of discretion by the district court in granting the defendant's motion to remove the case to juvenile court. Your Honor, the court, district court, clearly improperly weighed a number of factors required under 43-276 of the Nebraska Revised Statutes when it made its determination and also abused its discretion when it found that there was no sound basis for retaining jurisdiction of the case in district court. Your Honors, I would state that under 43-276 of the Nebraska Revised Statute, subsection E, requires that the court look at the previous history of the juvenile, including whether or not the juvenile had been adjudicated or convicted. The court, clearly through its analysis and its order, only looked at whether or not the juvenile had been adjudicated or convicted and did not look or take into consideration all the previous history before the court. And this bled into both its analysis of the type of treatment that it believed that the juvenile would be amenable to, as well as all the additional factors that it ultimately ruled in favor of the juvenile. The state
believes. Excuse me, Mr. Helgett.
Yes, Your Honor.
Would you agree that if this incident had occurred a day earlier, there wouldn't be a question of whether this could be in district court?
Yes, Your Honor. The court brings that up in its analysis under the age requirement under subsection D. But I think the law is clear. The fact is, this case is was properly into the district court because he was 14 at the time of the events.
Just turned 14 the day of the event, correct?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. The juvenile decided to celebrate his 14th birthday by getting into an organized fight.
No, I mean, there's no question that there's a number of concerns with this young man. And my question to you is, I was really curious about why the 2018 incidences were not charged until 2019.
Your Honor, is a deficiency of my office. We became very behind on charging a number of cases, not just those juvenile cases. There was also an administration change that led to different procedures and on how we handled the filing of cases. That is the deficiency of my office in getting those on file. But the incident before the court, we were immediately on top of.
And is it your position, from what I can tell from your brief, is that, you know, although the judge put a lot of emphasis on the fact that this young man had not yet been adjudicated, the fact remained that it was difficult to adjudicate him because he continued to abscond, failed to make appearances in the juvenile court on, I think, a couple or three different occasions?
Yes, Your Honor. Ultimately, the juvenile was actually placed at a shelter placement here in Grand Island in JV 19226 when he did flee that shelter placement before the court hearing, as noted in the docket sheet. Essentially, the court allowed or essentially is rewarding the juvenile for running from the cops, from law enforcement, from the jurisdiction of the court. I think this sends a clear message to our juveniles out there that if you dodge the court, if you dodge law enforcement, if you never enter into any agreements with the state, that if you end up committing some very heinous crimes, you will get to benefit from those, you know, in an adult court, failures to appear. And I find that is an improper balancing, or part of the balancing test as it applies to public safety. If our juveniles are continuously on their run after committing, you know, some very serious crime.
So if this juvenile had never committed any of these prior offenses, do you think this would be a different situation? If we have this one extremely violent act, okay, is that enough to put a 14-year-old into adult court? One extreme violent situation.
Your Honor, I think that's a question I struggle with, but I think ultimately this is a clear case of violence, I do maintain or do believe that the juvenile court, juvenile probation services are not capable of handling crimes of this level of violence. This is not just while the court in its ruling says like animals reacting. This is a juvenile who brought a knife and brass knuckles to a fight. I think this clearly shows premeditation on a level that I think the juvenile court and juvenile probation are ill-equipped to deal with.
Before we go into the overall balancing, as it relates to your first assignment of error, the history of the juvenile here, is it your position that the court didn't weigh those prior acts at all in connection with this, or insufficiently weighted them? What's your specific position there?
I think, Your Honor, I think that at least as it relates to the fact that the juvenile continuously failed to appear from the court and it had essentially escaped from a juvenile placement, that's nowhere contained within the order of the court. I think that it did not acknowledge the fact that when it repeated that, you know, he had never been offered opportunities, which I think is incorrect. Its repeated statements of the lack of opportunities shows to me, I think, that the court never weighed the juvenile's failures to appear and juvenile's escaping from its the shelter placement.
Is it your position that, assuming that these are not convictions, that there's not adjudications, that there would be less weight than if they are convictions or prior adjudications? If the court weighted them, would you weigh those less as it relates to this balancing?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that, you know, ultimately convictions and adjudications are finding beyond a reasonable doubt, and they should be given more weight based on the requirements of the findings of the court. But I don't think that I don't think the juvenile contest the accusations of the failures to appear and the escape from the juvenile shelter placement. So while they are the previous history has not been convicted or adjudicated and not held to that beyond a reasonable doubt standard, I do think that the conduct is to be given significant weight, perhaps less, definitely less than the adjudication and conviction standards.
Do you think the fact that the judge actually stated that particular provision E, subpart E, the previous history of the juvenile, including convictions or adjudications, that the court specifically said that this provision is structured on convictions and adjudications, which Mr. Flores didn't have. Do you think that that interpretation of that particular provision is a significant enough error to constitute an abuse of discretion?
I do think so, Your Honor. I think the fact that it clearly the statute is, while it does have focus on adjudications, convictions, that the legislature wanted the court to look at all relevant conduct to include specifically convictions, adjudications, but it's broad to include all that previous history. The fact that the court not only basically excluded all previous history, I think that exclusion of previous history bleeds into its analysis on pretty much every other factor in its analysis.
It's clear that this is a troubled 14-year-old. I mean, it's an act of violence. There's gang affiliation here. You can see all of those things, but speak to the notion of him being a 14-year-old. The purpose of the juvenile system is to rehabilitate. There's, he's not going to time out, so to speak, until he reaches 19. How does the court weigh that here on balance to determine that he's not amenable to rehabilitation, that this is a proper one for adult court? What's your position in that regard?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that the juvenile has been given opportunities and has clearly shown that he is not willing to accept the services of the court through his repeated failures to appear, escape. I do not think he's demonstrated that he would be amenable to the services. I struggle with what we're going to do with them, but ultimately the placement in the adult court allows the juvenile to be a felon, which means he can't possess weapons and firearms. So if he's caught with weapons once again, there are further consequences to his actions. There are also more public safety considerations for removal of the juvenile if this was an adult court from the population and protecting. As Mr. Albrecht says in the record, a juvenile like this would likely be, if adjudicated, would be placed at home. I think this flies in the face of public safety, and the public is not made safer or made better by having a violent juvenile who has a history of weapons and committed almost the most heinous crime out there being returned almost immediately to the population without any true determination that he's been rehabilitated.
What about that portion of the records that relates to his time at Madison and that there has been some improvement? Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that?
I think it's established by the professor at Ombudsman, the director of the Ombudsman. I mean, Mr. Flores has always been a very bright individual. And I think that his continued time at Madison shows that he's maintained his schoolwork. I think this shows that he is understanding of what he did and what he had planned to do. But I also think that his behavior, while in a structured facility that where he has constant supervision, he has constant people looking over him, I would think that in those kind of placements that anyone would continue to behave in a way that is more success or more societally beneficial and agreeable.
Yeah, I see we're out of time, so thank you. How far did we take him over?
2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Let's add that to the appellate's time. Okay. Counsel?
Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Gerard Piccolo representing the appellee, Mr. Flores. Really, Your Honors, the only issue in this particular case is what is the proper standard of review. I think the state has conceded that the proper standard of review is an abuse of discretion. So an appellate court would just review the record to show or to look for, is there evidence of record to support the decision of the lower court? In my brief, I went over each of the individual aspects of 276 and suggested that there was evidence of the record. This particular court understands that the legislature changed the law. I think it's 29.8.18.16, subparagraph 3, subparagraph C. He changed the law in 2017 and kind of changed the way juvenile courts were structured and transfers to juvenile courts. But with this particular crime, namely an attempted murder, it didn't change it. So the old law, which was an abuse of discretion, is still the proper case. Even the discussion before and Mr. Helgett's argument suggests that the correct standard of review is an abuse of discretion. And if you look through the record of this particular case, Judge Butler, in his order, went through each section of 276 categories, decided each particular one, either favorable or unfavorable to transfer, weighed everything and came up with the answer that this case should be transferred. Again, if there is enough evidence to support such a transfer, this court really doesn't have any grounds on which to reverse it, simply because it is not an abuse of discretion to carefully weigh everything. As a matter of fact, that's what the law requires. With that, I don't have anything else to say, unless the court has some other questions for me. Again,
counsel, this is Judge Pirtle.
Sure.
I do have a question for you. So when I look at this, when I look at Judge Butler's order, it looks to me like he said there were three factors in favor of retaining in the district court, five in favor of transferring, three neutral, and then on one, he discussed it but gave us no decision. If we were to look at this and we were to look at each individual factor and we were to conclude based on the evidence and based on what he put in his order, that there are more in favor of retaining it in the district court than transferring, can that then become an abuse of discretion?
Well, I would say, Your Honor, that your analysis would not be an abuse of discretion review. I think it would be a de novo review. There is no case precedent to suggest that in motions to transfer there is a de novo review. It is just simply, is there evidence to support what the judge, the lower court, did? That's the review for an abuse of discretion. Obviously, if the law is complied with. I mean, if the law is not complied with, well, that's an abuse of discretion. So my suggestion to you on that analysis, Your Honor, would be that it would be a de novo review that you're actually engaging in and not a review on an abuse of discretion.
Mr. Piccolo, let me ask you the same question I asked Mr. Helgett, and that is under subpart E, where it requires the court to look at the previous history of the juvenile, including previous convictions or adjudications. This judge did a very thorough review throughout. I mean, it's always pleasure for this court to get such a detailed opinion from a judge on these issues, and that was certainly supplied here. But in that particular subpart, the judge says that this provision is structured, these are his words, structured on convictions and adjudications. And so, in essence, he appeared to decline to consider those four prior incidents for which this young man has been charged. One is argued to be racially based, which is concerning. A couple involve obstruction of peace officers. I mean, and then we have, of course, hearings where this young man is using profanity towards the court and the system and his mother. And so there's an attitude prevalent here with this young man. And when we think in terms of rehabilitation, we think in terms of these young people wanting to change, wanting to be better. And if the judge misconstrued subpart E, then isn't it fair to say he didn't fully consider that provision with regard to this young man's history?
Again, Your Honor, I would disagree with you based on what I told Judge Pirtle. Your analysis is perfect. It's okay. But again, you're doing a de novo review. It was Judge Butler who has the statutory authority to make the decision.
Don't we have an independent review of legal issues? And if he's misconstruing the law, then we have the ability to independently review that. And so that's not an abuse of discretion review.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. But the law suggests that, again, it is not this court's prerogative to do a de novo review. It is the lower court's prerogative to do basically a de novo review. And you've also got to understand that the case law, as I cited in my brief, suggests that there's no one particular factor that is more than the other factors. And so Judge Butler can weigh whatever factors he wants to weigh, so long as he weighs all the factors carefully. Obviously, you can reach a different conclusion from what the law stated.
Well, if his factual findings are based upon an incorrect understanding of the law with regard to considering previous history of this young man, I mean, the judge talks about how he has hope for this young man, and that, you know, he doesn't feel he belongs in adult court. And we defer to the trial court's observations and decisions in that regard, of course. But I am also somewhat concerned, and this, you know, this is the one area I think there may be a problem in this case, and that is the judge misunderstanding of the law, that he did not consider, he was appeared to be unwilling to consider the previous history of this young man, his failure to appear at various hearings, his running away from Boys Town, where he was presumably being treated in Boys Town, his complete unwillingness to submit himself in these various instances. He seemed unwilling to even consider that, and I'm wondering if that might constitute an abuse of discretion.
And our position would be it does not. However, you
of
also
of course have, that would be your, of course that doesn't here, surprise me.
Here's my suggestion to you, Your Honor. Even if you assume that is correct, Judge Butler also considered how Mr. Flores is doing in Madison, and seems to be doing well. His schoolwork has improved. He seems, after an initial period of not getting along with everybody, is now settled down. Perhaps Judge Butler decided that even though Mr. Flores had this bad history before he went to Madison, that the Madison efforts at rehabilitation, and I'll use that term loosely, have succeeded in getting Mr. Flores back on the, I'll use the term, the right track. And consequently, that has balanced out what you had just mentioned before. Again, that's perfectly acceptable within the case law and the statute. Again, no one factor is supposed to be overwhelming all other factors.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. My only concern is how this one permeates other factors. And so if he failed to consider it at all, but I appreciate your argument that there was the Madison evidence that there had been progress. So thank you
for that. So even under your analysis, Judge Butler can take into the fact that Madison did occur and the improvements in Madison, which outweighed or weighed or countered, whatever way you want to put it, the matters you're talking about the prior record. Well, counsel, and that's perfectly permissible.
What's your position when you read the order? Do you believe that the court completely disregarded those prior incidents because they were not adjudications or convictions?
No, I think the court took them into consideration. And again, as I mentioned to Judge Bishop, you also have those factors that were going on in Madison, because Mr. Flores had been in Madison for quite some time, 2 to 3 months, 4 months, whatever it may be, gone through school, started to behave, did pretty well at Madison, as shown by the record. So as I tried the motion to transfer, that was the general idea. We couldn't do anything about the record, the prior record. So we wanted to show that, hey, this structure at Madison has improved Mr. Flores so that he is amenable to the juvenile justice system as opposed to an adult system. So that would be my answer.
And then, of course, the flip side of that is absconding from Boys Town, his remarks to the court about the system. And those things are a significant concern here, are they not, as it relates to public safety and the amenability to rehabilitation?
Yeah, I think Judge Bishop and I covered that particular aspect. Yeah, you can put a lot of weight into that. I believe Judge Butler did put a lot of weight into that, but also said that counter to that is the improvement that Mr. Flores has gone through in Madison. And also there's a lot of discussion there at the motion to transfer about what services are available, more specifically YRTC, there may be some in-home services. There was a lot of discussion along that line. Again, you weigh those factors into consideration. Judge Butler did that, and he came up with the motion to transfer. I think I have about a little bit over a minute left. Is there any other questions? If not, I'll submit it for the court.
There do not appear to be. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. I know we took the appellant over time, so there's no rebuttal time left. So we will take the case under advisement. We appreciate you both being here, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Thank you.